What ifs?
Flippin'
it. Hey, what's happening? What probably a lot of people don't realize is that Tom and I are often having a like pretty profound conversation, and then we hit record, and then we kind of have to pretend like
it's like,
hey,
oh,
it's like we just met. Oh, they just picked up the phone.
I didn't see you there.
Hello there.
How are you? Good.
I love that. I love that in movies when or TV documentaries when someone just like walks on to the screen and then looks left and goes, oh, I didn't see you there.
Actually, I'll tell you what's more annoying is in an ad, like a TV ad, is where the camera starts the scene, and I guess it's supposed to be like the guy is walking towards the camera and sees it, but you see the guy start walking. He's stationary when it starts, and then he starts walking. It's so annoying.
That's an editing faux pas.
Probably, yeah, that's too annoying.
It reminds me of a super annoying thing, okay?
Go.
Imagine this. You're watching footage of someone driving, okay? Driving their car.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say?
And the camera is mounted...
Yeah, on a straight road, and the camera is mounted on the dashboard, you assume, looking straight at their face, just driving along, and suddenly... and you're like, you were looking straight ahead the whole...
I thought you were going to say that they're turning the steering wheel, even though the road is straight.
Oh, that's an old classic.
I'll tell you one that I hate. I just finished watching all of Sons of Anarchy, which, by the way, is amazing, especially while editing.
Yeah. I've never watched a single episode.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, like every time there's a motorcycle on scene, the motorcycle is revving up and changing gears. Even if it's on a straight road going like, I don't know, 100, it's revving up and the gear is changing. I feel that's negligent, but on behalf of the producers.
That is Fast and Furious all over, where all you've got to do to go faster is just downshift and floor it.
And the blocks.
good. So I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Hey, can I just to get something else out of the way that I feel we owe this to all of our 6 listeners?
Yes.
Just kidding.
Actually, it's more than that.
It's more than it's like more several than hundred. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's good.
Greg and his lovely wife came to stay at my place last week. And
oh, you're not going to tell this story.
Well, I just feel that people should know our level of dedication. Like we had this great idea that we would record a podcast in person. So we set up our laptops with our microphones out on my back. I don't know.
I took my like, you know, big clunky professional mic all the way to Australia.
So we sat down out there. We were like, yeah, we don't need to do any prep for this. You know, we'll just let it flow. We just sat there for the most awkward 40 minutes of our life talking about absolute trash. And at the end, we recorded the whole thing. And at the end, what did we do?
Well, at the end, I was like, look, this is going... I think you were saying this is going horrible. And I was like, yeah, I can save it in editing. Like, I'll just get out the awkward pauses.
All of it.
And then I said, look, let's just sit here and wait till something comes to us. And we just sat there for, what, 10 minutes? almost like I was wiping the tears of actual sadness from my eyes. Like,
it was the worst thing we've ever recorded. And, like, I deleted, well.
Yeah, I would sooner burn my laptop than listen to that again.
You all dodged a bullet by not having to listen to that episode. It was so bad.
So that's kind of why we've got a break from the last one, because the one in between, it was just no good. It was something to do with Tom's... I don't know if you were undressing me with your eyes, but...
I always
am. It was something to do with being able to see you in real life, and it was just... No.
It was super weird.
It was awkward.
I felt like I was on a date for the first time. I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do I do with my hands? You know, can I take a sip of this water while you're there?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I was like going, what is he doing with his hands? Oh, my God. He's slurping his drink.
We're back in our comfort zone now where we're like several thousand kilometers apart.
And I can be browsing the internet and Tom can't tell.
So good.
All right. Snap down.
Snap down. Who's going first?
Well, I went from having 0 snap downs to about 1,000. So I'll do one.
Okay, we'll do one at a time. Go.
Okay, so I don't know. People probably already know about this, but lately I've been thinking a lot about my posture when I'm editing because, you know, like you do the cull, that's whatever, in an hour or something, and then you do the real edit, and it's the same body position for both. It's in my case, it's like if I don't focus, I slump my shoulders forward.
Yeah.
I have my arms out on the table here, and I'm just like, and this horrible, would you call it a question mark?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Spinal shape, and every 5 minutes I have to like sit up straight, push my shoulders back. So anyway, I was thinking, how can I break up my routine? And I saw this ages ago, but I just thought I'd look it up again. There's a way of patching a PlayStation 3 remote controller through to your Mac. See, people that have done like the rounds, that have been sitting in front of a computer for a while, have researched this. But there's a website called medium.com. I'll put the link in our show notes thingy.
Mm.
Who actually does this? Norman Purcell. And he's just got this really good way of patching your PlayStation 3 or 4 or Xbox remote controller through to your Mac and through to Lightroom. Now, the next step is what you do. In my case, I'm going to AirPlay.
Mm.
Is that what you call it? AirPlay? Yeah, like, yeah. AirPlay. My screen over to our LED, like, big TV, screen. Yeah, yeah. Our 48-inch, whatever.
I can see where this is going.
And then I've got my beanbag, and I'll put that in front of the TV, and then I can just sit back with my Bluetooth remote and so just good. Do the cull and be totally not at the desk.
Thereby, when you have to go and edit, you've had a different scenario, a different posture, and you're not just sitting in the same place the whole day.
Exactly. Different like muscle memory. And the guy, actually, I think it was a different one that I originally saw. I saw a YouTube video first. This was 2 years ago, the days before we actually had a TV, because we were just sleeping on other people's floors for a while. But he said that, I found this very interesting. The PlayStation remote controller, he thought, was one of the most ergonomic, like, handheld things there ever was, because it's designed to be held for hours and hours and hours.
Well, that's
and
what if you think about it, is they'll hold it for like 12 hours, 13 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you think about it, you don't really get fatigue that easily on a PlayStation remote.
That's true.
So
that's true. And I can concur, because I have been playing a lot of PlayStation lately, and yeah, I agree. It's very nice in the hands for long periods.
No. Stop we won't it. Go there. So we, Stop man, it. We try so hard to not
well,
be
do,
like
do we?
To use innuendo. Oh my goodness!
Look, if this was just you and I chatting, we would have been all over that joke, right?
We then. Would have been off the deep but end it's, on that.
Way too.
But no, this is a family show.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's it. I was just saying to Tom, it just got shipped, and the guy, the name of the shipper was, what did I call it?
What just got shipped? The controller.
The controller, I just ordered.
Oh, you bought a controller. Right.
Oh, yeah, what did I say?
Oh, you didn't say just now that you'd actually ordered a controller.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I just thought you were talking about that. Yeah.
I've ordered, it was a second-hand PlayStation 3 controller. Man, they're so cheap. Yeah, they're just everywhere. Yeah, and the company, the trade me seller, his name is Bouncing Zombies, which I thought was pretty funny. So I just got an email from Bouncing Zombies. I was like, oh, that's a new one.
Wow.
So anyway, that's good. It's all done.
Do you want to continue with your other snapdowns now, or do you want me to go and do
well, one? I've got just a little short one.
Go.
So I could do that, and then you could take
sure.
the floor.
Sure.
this is a short one, but then you could take the floor. Maybe I'll... Yeah, and then we'll okay, because there's a new section that we're going to talk about after yours, which is the shortcut corner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my really short one is I have just started a free engagement shoot Facebook post.
Okay.
I would like to get more Facebook page likes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying a few different things here and there, and I'm trying not to just dump a bunch of cash on Facebook, because.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to...
Yeah, so I'm going down the road of a free engagement shoot. For a while there, I was thinking free wedding, but for me, I'll do it, but I just worry that I won't get the return that I'm looking for.
Yeah, so this is
just a little teaser. I just pushed, like, go, and I boosted it, and then we started the Skype call.
How much are you throwing at that?
I don't really know. I'm going to run it for just under a month, and then we'll draw the winner.
And what is it sort of like? How are you sort of asking for submissions and stuff?
People have to like the post, mm-hmm. like my page, and tag their significant other, or if it's like someone that's not getting engaged, but they know someone that's getting engaged, they could tag them, yeah. Man, and if those three things are done, then they're in the draw.
From what I've seen, those posts work really well.
I've done a bit of research, and I've been wanting to do one for so long. It's just a case of getting off my butt. So yeah, I just thought I'll just vary the amount of money because I will boost the post. And I'll vary the amount of money I throw at it. I'll put a bit of money on for the first 3 days and then dial it back and then see what happens.
Anyway, you can update us next week on how that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Cool. That's me.
Okay. Here are my three or four stamp downs. First is I want you all out there to not be scared of using high ISO when you're shooting. Often I forget that I can use high ISO in circumstances where it is just really dark and I'm like, oh, I forget. I have this mental block and I feel I shouldn't go above 3200 or 6400. And whenever I do, I'm like, this is really actually not too bad. So I guess my recommendation there is it's better to have a photo that's slightly grainy than no photo at all because you didn't want to go high up in the ISO. So that's my first thing is don't be scared to go high ISO. Yeah.
Maybe just a little add on to that might be for people just go out and do some like throwaway shots. Like when you're at a wedding and you've got 5 minutes to kill, just do some crazy ISO shots and then you can put them on Lightroom later and
see how they go.
See what they came out like. Yeah.
Mm.
Cause you're shooting with a Mark IV, you know, it might not be the best advice for someone with a Mark II or something.
No, like I agree, but I guess... But I guess
you say, yeah.
Well, the thing is,
have something than nothing.
If there's a photo that it presents itself, an opportunity, and you can either A, go and get a flash from your bag, probably possibly miss the moment, or just crank the ISO, take the photo. Like I've just the amount you can rescue in Photoshop is pretty incredible, and I think that a potential bride will look at an amazing moment and won't go, oh my god, it's so grainy. He or she. The bride or groom, whatever, will be like, okay, that's a really special moment and I'm so glad they got it. They won't be like, it's not technically perfect. I guess that's my, you know what I mean? You're right. Some cameras are not as capable high ISO than others and I'm lucky to be on a Mark IV, but do you know what I mean?
I do. And man, you can save a lot of brain.
So much. Okay. Yeah. The next one is, oh yeah, I've got two more. I bought an Apple Watch. It's awesome. It's so useful for returning texts and messages because I've been using heaps of voice dictation. So, I can totally... And I got that... I decided to because I saw yours. You also have an Apple Watch. So good.
Just had to one up.
The next thing is I use for most of the day a double strap. Like so many photographers use, you know, the hold fast double strap with a camera on each side. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were telling me how they were having back pain and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And like, I'm all about fixing, like you were saying with the editing posture, I'm all about fixing pains, short-term pains in feet, hips, legs and backs, but also long-term pains because, you know, our jobs, we carry a lot of stuff for a lot of time on the weekends and this can really be detrimental to our long-term back and what hip health and whatever. So what I don't think people often don't realize... during portraits, I actually take both cameras off, take my straps off. And for portraits, I carry one camera and I carry three lenses in a little lens changer bag over my shoulder. But what it means is that from the start of portraits until a good part of the reception, I don't have two cameras on my body. And I found since I started doing that, I've significantly reduced my pain in my back and my shoulders. In fact, I don't really have any now. So I do end up changing lenses a lot during portraits, but you know, with portraits, you're going at your own rate. You're controlling the speed and the time. It's not a scenario where there are as many spontaneous moments happening that you have to be ready for. So if you're having problems with your back and shoulders, I highly suggest you try shooting with one camera during portraits as opposed to two. I haven't found any negative. In fact, I found it positive in another way in that I look at a scene, I figure out, I do more planning. I figure out what lens will be more appropriate for the shot I want. I put the lens on and then I nail the shot as opposed to going, oh, I've got two cameras, you know, faffing around. Which one should I use? Like I found it to be really beneficial for my photography and for my back. So yeah, nice. That's my last one is super simple is go to Instagram and follow this awesome cat. And this cat is called Lil Bub. Have you heard of Lil Bub?
Oh no, I haven't.
Oh, you're so cute.
I don't like surf cat Instagram accounts like you do.
I literally. Okay, so Lil Bub basically is a retarded dwarf cat. He was born with dwarfism. His legs are short and stumpy. He has some sort of cognitive, you know, disability where his eyes are really big and his tongue always pokes out of his mouth. Like he can't eat properly. He's so cute. And his owner is a really good photographer and takes incredible photos of him. He goes around the States, the owner and Little Bub the cat, and they do like motivational talks. They go to do you know there's a thing in the US called CatCon?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, though. You know, like Comic-Con, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when I found out there was a thing called CatCon, my life changed and I one day have to go to... I want to go to CatCon way more than any photography workshop.
Do people take their cats?
Yes, there's like cat exhibitors. You're like, not every guest takes their cats, but if you go and pay to go to this conference, you'll go and there'll be like so many cats. There'll be all cat products, cat food, cat collars, cat runs. And I'm aware how insane I'm sounding right now. But anyway, Lil Bub does the conference circuit and is very motivational, and he's an awesome cat who's so cute. So he on Instagram is, this is all one word, I am Lil Bub. That's LILBUB. I am Lil Bub. So check him out.
Oh, get motivated.
I can't believe I just told you all to go follow a retarded dwarf cat. Oh God. All right, that's me.
Nice. Okay. Now listen, there is a segment that I've kind of wanted to be doing for a while, called Shortcut Corner, and I've said a few things, but I'm kind of going to make it a real thing now. I would like everyone to type into their browser search engine thingy something like Lightroom Shortcut Cheat Sheet. You'll find all kinds of different things, but there's one in particular that I like on a website called Make a Website Hub. MakeAWebsiteHub.com. So I think that was like top three of my searches, search results. But they have this fantastic Lightroom cheat sheet, which goes really like, it's long as, it's like a meter long.
Wow. I have actually seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so do that, but the one little cheat that caught my eye, the one little shortcut, a lot of people, including me, I don't use the function keys at all on my keyboard. You know, at the top of my keyboard, I've got like brightness for your screen, and then you've got, what do you call that one? Exposé and all those.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know, yeah.
Play and skip songs, But behind those, there are the F1, F2 functions, and you've got a hold down function, which on my keyboard is in the middle because I got the expanded keyboard. But I think for a laptop, it's bottom left.
Okay. Oh yeah. Now, bottom left. Yeah.
Function two. So F function and then that F2 button.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple. If you are in let me just go into Lightroom. If you are in the library. You go to the library, and if I push function F2, function F2, there it goes. It just brings up the little rename window, so I can rename my folder or rename my file or whatever.
All right, there you go.
That's it. Super easy, nice and quick. I know we've talked about this before, Tom, but once I've done a cull, I take all of the images I'm keeping and I rename them. Oh, no, not when I've done a cull. I've done a cull and then I do a full edit. My wedding album is finished. I rename every file in that album, the initials of the couple.
Oh, a couple, yeah. And this is the raw files.
These are the raw files. Yeah, exactly. And then when I go export, the naming is already done.
Yep, sure. You don't have to type it in.
So for me, I'll do cull, edit, and then I'll hit function F2.
Very good.
And then I can just go bang, 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 rename. And I have to admit, that saves me a bit of time because I always forget where... There it is there, rename. And next to it, a little F2. So that's my little shortcut corner for today. And I'd like to make that a regular feature.
So this is called this is called Shortcut Corner, yeah?
Sure is.
And it's going to be Lightroom Tips.
Lightroom / Apple Shortcuts. So I apologize if you're on a PC, but... I'm using a Mac, so yeah, that's me too. What it's going to be.
I just don't know any shortcuts on Macs either. I mean, control something? I don't even know.
Control. Oh, okay.
Control or delete?
I got a good one for next week. Boom. Done.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
So what happens now?
Well, I heard a rumor that you had some something juicy.
I got a good good topic I want to chat about. Wow. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, Greg. Oops. Have you ever had a moment in your career where you look at your photos and you're just like, man, I'm a crap photographer. Like, these are crap. Like, crap photos. Why are these people hiring me? Why can't I do better? These are just terrible. I do the same poses over and over again. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Pretty much every Monday.
I'm talking about the photographer's version of, I guess you'd call it, creative block, which is just, you just get to a point in your career where you're just like, oh, I'm just terrible. So that's happened to you.
Oh, yeah. I think it's kind of like a cycle, right?
Absolutely.
Every so often you just get into this funk where you just go, oh, like the same... like the same pose, like I've done the same thing with the same composition, and I know what you mean.
I guess it's like our version of writer's block, although with the writer, I guess they're the sole source of the creativity and it all comes from their mind, whereas with us we have heaps of external factors to play on. But sure. I honestly think it's definitely something which especially more budding photographers might face, is because in that curve of improvement, there are absolutely going to be moments or times when that improvement is going up exponentially, and also where it kind of flattens out, and sometimes where it might go dip down a little. But what I wanted to touch on is how to deal with that. Because first of all, I think it's good to talk about it, and everyone should realize that every single photographer that I know has moments where they're just like, well, what the hell am I doing? Like, why are people paying me? My images are terrible. So I've thought of a few ways that I can share that I move past this. I think I get this probably twice a year where I get creative block. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Oh, you go.
Okay.
I think I've got four written here. So if...
one, two...
But I don't want to... We'll...
Three.
We've probably got some double ups.
Okay, yeah. Maybe. I've tried to sort of come up with three ideas that are not super obvious. So maybe we won't have double ups. Okay. The first thing I think, as this is pretty much geared towards wedding photographers, although I guess it... Oh, make my watch. Damn, my watch is good, but it keeps talking to me. Dismiss. The first thing I think you should realize as a wedding photographer is... there are many factors at weddings that are completely out of your control, and that these factors will have a direct result on your photos. And I'm talking about timing, weather, the relationship and rapport of your couple, family members, like general pressures of the day, a bride or a groom who might have some sort of anxiety about photos, or who may feel really uncomfortable, like a church that has not enough room. There are so many factors that are out of our control. So chances are, if you're looking at your photos and thinking, I'm a terrible photographer, it's probably not true. You're no worse than you were the last week. Sorry, that sounded really bad. You're probably still...
I mean, you're still terrible. You're just not getting worse.
That's not what I meant to say. You know, so you're just as good as you were last week, but... the images you're looking at, there was probably a factor that was totally out of your control, which has caused you to feel this way. So I guess that's the first thing I want you as a listener and someone who might doubt your work is to realize that it's most likely nothing to do with you. It's most likely, due to factors out of your control. And weddings are like that. Weddings is not something you can control. They're something that you really can't control. Now, this would lead into my next point, which is... that as a wedding photographer, you have to accept... I've figured out through my career that I have to accept that I'm not always going to shoot groundbreaking work. I sometimes look at my photos and go, oh man, I really just want to push the boundary. I look at other photographers' work and I think, oh man, that's amazing. Like, why can't I shoot like that? I want to shoot like that. But it's not always like that. For the reason I've just said is that, you know, there are so many factors out of our control, but you just need to understand and accept that you're not going to always shoot things that are award-winning, groundbreaking images, because that's just not what you do at a wedding. Excuse me. Your job at a wedding is to document what you see and what happens. And sometimes you're going to be documenting an event or a wedding that doesn't throw out opportunities to take groundbreaking images. And you need to also remember that this doesn't mean your job is any less important or your images are less important. You're there to serve your bride and groom, and they've planned this day. Your bride and your groom. You're there to document their day. They've chosen the venue, they've chosen clothes and blah, blah, blah. And they're having the best day and you're there to document it. So if you look at your images and go, I'm in a creative rut. Chances are your clients are not going to agree with you. They're probably going to love the images you documented of their day. So the last thing, and this is a massive one, that I think you all should do if you are in a creative rut or you are not liking your work, is go to Facebook and Instagram and unfollow 95% of your competitors, your colleagues, and groups where people post photos. Stop looking at other photos from other wedding photographers. Just get rid of them. There was a guy, one of my contacts on Facebook posted this. I can't remember what he said the other day. He's like, you know, comparison is the thief of joy or something like that. And man, it is so true. If you're looking at your work and thinking, meh, mine's not that great, and then you're going to Facebook and you're opening Facebook and the first thing you see is a photo from like the Dolomites with this epic, like this couple, a bride in a $50,000 dress and a groom who's a model, and the light happened to be perfect and every aspect was perfect. Of course, you're going to be like, man, I'm so crap compared to that. But you got to remember that you weren't there. If you were there, you probably would have shot an image just as good. So this is, again, a factor out of your control. But the first thing you can do to start making yourself feel a little better is stop comparing yourself to other people. You can only do what you can do at the wedding you're at. And that's why if you forget the comparison and just think about documenting what is in front of you and making your clients happy, your own happiness with your work will increase. And that's exactly what happened to me and what I still do. So, yeah. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. That last one. I actually thought you were going to go the other way on that one. I thought you were going to say, go to Instagram, do some research.
No.
I totally agree with you on that one.
The only time I went to a workshop was a very short 2 or 3 hour workshop by Jerry Gionis, who's awesome. And one of the things he said is that don't look for inspiration in the work of other photographers. There's so much happening in life around you. Look for inspiration there, even in things like movies, you know? Like that's a way to, if you watch a movie and if you see a beautiful scene, don't just go, that's a beautiful scene, but why is it a beautiful scene? And can you sort of bring that? Because I mean, cinematographers are amazing at composition. So, you know, you can take inspiration from stuff like that.
That's true.
Anyway, those are my three ideas. What do you think?
Nice. All right. Well, I think they're all amazing, Tom.
Thanks, man.
I will say, I don't think we've got any double ups.
That's what I thought. I thought we weren't going to. Yeah.
Well, the first thing I'll say is that it can be very daunting when you say to yourself, okay, my whole photography game is terrible. I need to improve overall. I need, you know, my whole performance as a photographer needs to increase. That's daunting. One way of getting over that, and I think I learned this off Anthony Robbins back in the day, is chunking or compartmentalizing. So just say to yourself, right, my weakest aspect or the thing that I struggle with the most is bridal party photos, for example. And so do some research, do a bit of, you know, internet searching, look at other people. I mean, do whatever you do, but just on one part, just on that tiny, tiny little part of the wedding, forget about all the rest of it. Just keep working away at those, but maybe introduce one or two new poses, one or two new something or others. I don't know what, just at that one part. And then when you get to that one part of the wedding, suddenly you're not like flustered and thinking, oh no, like I've had to remember all this stuff to be better. You just got one little goal for the wedding.
Great idea.
And for me, I find that kind of makes each wedding exciting.
Mm.
If I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to try this
like one a self thing. Challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And like in the when you're in the middle of wedding season and weddings get a little bit kind of cookie cutter,
mm-mm.
you know, a little bit robotic.
Mm.
It's nice just to think, oh man, I'm going to use like this one bit of gear, or I'm going to do this, try this one photo. A wedding I had about 3 weeks ago. So I saw this incredible photo. I don't remember who it was. I think it was a New Zealander. Anyways, this incredible photo of a bridal couple walking a camel in the desert.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that. Like, I think I've seen this photo.
Oh, my God. I just love it. Mind
blown.
And the lighting was perfect. Like, the sky was this perfect, even blue, like, no blowouts, nothing. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to try this photo. And so we were at the beach with a couple about, I don't know, 5 weeks ago or something.
Mm-mm.
And the background was sort of like, I don't know, it just reminded me of this desert background, even though we're at the beach. And I got him to like hold her hand and kind of walk her along. The camel would be like the third thing. Like yeah. She would be walking the camel, but there was no camel. I was like, I don't care. Like the look and feel is so good. Took the photos, got them home. And I was like, oh my God, this is so bad.
Really? So it didn't work.
I was like, wow. So anyway, no, I did not include those in the album. But that brings me on to my number two tip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's all good to have what I've come to know as a pity party. A pity party?
Pity party.
And that's where you basically, you know, just hate
crap all over yourself, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Do that. By all means, do it.
Mm-mm.
But when you're sitting there at the computer and the stupid camel shot that just didn't work is eating away at you, actually make a point of learning something. Like, okay. Say to yourself, all right, that was a horrible mistake.
Why? But
what
yes.
did I learn?
What, yeah, did what I, will what can I do better?
You've got it. Next time, I will either do or not do something. At least then the mistake wasn't for nothing.
Ah, that's, you know, very...
You learn
so,
something from
so you
mistakes.
So you're basically saying, try and, instead of just going, blur, I'm terrible, figure out what it is you don't like about whatever it is you're looking at and think, and actually actively think, how can I improve that aspect?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
And if you come home for a wedding and you just feel like everything went wrong, don't say to yourself, everything went wrong. Take it down to one or two key things, mm-hmm. and then work on those two. One or two key things, because that's the whole. If you just say everything's wrong, it's hopeless. Da da da. I mean, where can you go from there?
And one of those things could be, this is out of my control.
Like, well, yeah, very right? true. Very true.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great tip.
When you were saying before about all of the variables at a wedding and all the things that are out of our control and all that kind of stuff, like it's very difficult to turn a wedding that's. Now, when I say a wedding that's going badly, like a wedding where the weather has just completely mm-hmm. crapped itself, mm-hmm. or where the bride, I don't know, is an emotional wreck or mm-hmm. something where you just know this is a situation where less is more. Like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's very difficult to turn a wedding from our point of view yeah. in that situation. You might get a chance to do that once a season or something, and it might just be this tiny little part of the day where something's not going quite right. And you're able to make like a positive influence on the day.
Mm.
If you can do that, that's like next level Jedi wedding photography stuff.
The bride or groom is so appreciative if you can do that.
But it's not the kind of thing you go out expecting to do. No. It's just the kind of thing you do your best, and you might try something and then you're like, I'm out. Just be a wallflower for the rest of the wedding.
it's really good to have that awareness of when. Because it's not all about us and our photos. It's we're there as a third party to document. And like, it's really good to be like, to have that, like you said, awareness of when the hands-off approach should start, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Really good point, really good point.
And then I just thought I'd, I suppose I've got two more, but they're kind of similar.
Yeah, bring them.
One is just go out and do something completely different. Like take your camera a sports game. Like somewhere, because like sports games and that kind of stuff, okay, you've got to use tracking focus and you've got to do like high shutter speed and all this kind of stuff. All those little tips and skills, they're all going to be important at a wedding at some point. You know, when you've got a little kid running towards you with, I don't know, blowing bubbles or something and you're like, bang, 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 yep. I don't know how to do that now.
Yep.
But just take your camera to stupid, weird places and yeah, and it's just, I don't know, do random stuff. And lastly, I'd say just go out and buy a random piece of gear that you would never, ever otherwise use. Like, go out and buy or rent a super wide lens or a super telephoto or a tilt shift or just something completely random and just start playing around with it. Just, what else, you know?
Love it, love it.
Break out of your comfort zone.
So can keep going.
I was going to say that coming from a guy who only uses 35 and 135 for 99% of his photography.
Hopefully that's helpful, eh? I reckon that's a big
I didn't expect so many nuggets to come out then. I was expecting a bit more like banter about one or two things, but those were all really good.
I'm gonna use some of yours, man. Like I love those ideas. Like, especially deconstructing, like when I get home and I'm like, that was terrible. Maybe I did do something wrong, but it was probably only one or two things that next time I can go, okay, I know what I did wrong. I know how to fix that next time. Next time I'm going to be ready, and then taking something positive away from a negative experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
That's the ultimate thing about being a stupid human, is that we make mistakes, but we just have to learn from them.
Well, otherwise we're not moving forward at all. We have to learn from them. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Just call us Dalai Greg, Dalai Tom.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Are you sick of talking?
I'm never sick of talking. Are you?
Should we ask people if they're sick of listening? You know, that's a good thing about a podcast.
We don't care. No, we
do. Doesn't matter.
Can I okay, can I say something?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay, all right. Go on.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Greg and I have decided that we're really going to work on our social... We're terrible with social media, probably because we focus on our own social media for our businesses, but... I'm going to really try and be working on Instagram and our Facebook accounts for the Snappening. So I'm going to try and post daily on both if I can. But what I'd like from you guys who are listening, in fact, I got two requests from everyone who's listening. Please, we'd love to share some of your photos. We'd love to know who you are. We'd love to know who's listening, where you are. So when you're posting, I guess this applies more to Instagram, but when you are posting, please tag us. We'd love to see your work. Yeah, if you can tag us, we can share your work. This also benefits us because with coming up for content for our own businesses to post, it's hard to come up with content for the Snappening too, because it's just time consuming. So we'd love to share our feed with all your epic photos and give you a shout out. So if you can tag us, that'll be awesome. And I'm just, now that I've asked you to tag us, I'm just trying to look at what our thing is. Oh, yeah, okay.
It's that one, the Snappening podcast, right?
It's the _Snappening_podcast. So if you tag us, we'll give you a share. The other thing I was thinking of asking, it's pretty forward, but I reckon, is it rude for us to ask people to review us on iTunes?
I don't think it's rude. No, not at all.
If you listen to our
podcast... As long as they give us a 5-star.
Well, yeah, if it's anything less than 5-star, then don't listen to this. We don't care. But we'd love for you to go to iTunes and leave us a review if you like our podcast and you'd love to, you know, help us out. We're really going to try and record more, post more, and so if you can give us a review, we would absolutely love that. And make sure it's like amazingly positive.
Or else.
Please talk about my beard and how good it is.
Good one, Tom. That's fine. All right, yeah, all right. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. That was some nice admin.
Yeah, yeah. And now I'm done talking.
All done. Okay, well, let's wrap it up. So, guess what I'm doing?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, okay, okay.
It's dreaded. Make it snap. No,
Reggae app still doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Now, another app of mine. If anyone out there does use Smug Mug, they released this app called Camera Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that it's no longer available on the new... what's it called? iOS 11? So that kind of sucks. I had this nice little workflow where I could upload my Instagram feed to Camera Awesome, and it meant that it was updated in Smug Mug, which meant when people looked at my gallery on my website, it was my live Instagram feed.
Okay.
So now I've lost that functionality.
Ah, that's really annoying.
Boo-hoo. Are you going to tell you how to work?
Is that working? Sorry. I'm just... Yeah. were you basically killing time before I got this working?
Yeah,
it's working now.
All right, okay.
Goes to YouTube, well, searches reggae horn sound.
Okay, I'm going to make this easy thing snap in. I think you've got to make your, like we were saying, easy. Wait for it.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Oh, premature horn sound.
very basic. That whole thing about turn a negative into a positive. Go and make negatives into positives. Snap in. Oh, Jesus.
Woo! Spring break.
And that's us, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye.